This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right, as we get going with Sal Capaccio being welcomed in on the West Her Hotline, we want to remind you that Sal gives you the inside scoop and takes you behind the scenes of Training Camp 2021. Sal will go live on the WGR Facebook page throughout Training Camp, behind the scenes at Training Camp, presented by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good afternoon, Sal. How are you today?
Pretty good, Bulldog. How are you doing in there?
I'm doing just great. Doing just great. One quick one on hockey here. I know, like, it's Bill's time. Did you? I don't know if you happen to hear the very last caller we took at the end of last hour asked, like, the big question: why does no one want to be here? Why does everyone want to leave? Is it too entry level, rudimentary to just say the losing as an answer? Like, that's definitely a part of it, right? But there's got to be more than just that.
I think with losing comes a perception. You know, if you're losing so much, they must not be doing things right. Maybe they're not taking care of their players. Maybe they're not, evaluating correctly. I don't want to be a part of that. Like, I just think it's yeah, it gets to a mindset, really. Taylor Hall came here, and I think we all know that was also because, you know, Ralph Kruger, if you don't have Ralph Kruger, you probably don't get Taylor Hall. So I wouldn't say that, you know, players don't want to come here. They signed some free agents. Now, granted, we're not talking about big names, I understand, other than Taylor Hall. But, yeah, I would say it is rudimentary, but it's also true, right? You know, with losing comes a lot of questions of why that is and when can they win again. But I always remind people, you know, there's an old saying that says, Buffalo will make you cry twice, once when you go there and once when you have to leave. Because people might not want to come here, but they don't want to leave. And I think, you know, there is something to be said for lots of hockey players over the years have settled here. They've lived here. It's a great place. Once they get here, they understand that. But I think until they get here, there is a perception around the organization, and a lot of that just really stems from the losing.
I don't want to belabor this, but you mentioning Taylor Hall, like, did you happen to see, like, after he got traded, how he talked about Buffalo? Like, it sounded like the locker room was haunted. The way that he talked, like, man, I don't know. It just was really just wow, yeah. Like there's this sort of there's a lot unsaid, but it just sounds like a really bad scene. And, like, I think the losing is only a facet of that. That would be my somewhat educated guess, but I don't know. Anyway, we can close that book for now.
Well, I can tie this into football. I don't think it's revolutionary to say. I think that Kevin Adams is trying to do what Brandon Bean did in 2017 and Sean McDermott. And that is that they are identifying the causes of that, exactly that, what Taylor Hall is talking about and saying, we have to change that. Now, we can all sit here and disagree or agree and think that people are trashing on or whatever. When I say, you know, they believe that maybe Jack Eichel and or Sam Reinhart and whoever just have to be gone and out of here because they feel that will be better in the long run. And that's going to hurt and that's going to be painful. But you know what? Same thing happened with Marcel Darius and Sammy Watkins and to a lesser degree, LeSean McCoy a year later. And if that's what they feel that it takes to get that cleaned up, to get that better perception and get people here, then that's what they're going to do. And again, it might be wrong, or it might sound bad to some people to say, or people may think you're blaming the wrong people. But I think that's clearly what Kevin Adams believes.
Yeah, I like that correlation a lot. And now I'm really glad that I brought this up to you, because I think that's exactly what they're doing. You know, we'll see how the build goes. You know, I mean, the Bills got a lot of stuff right and they get a lot of credit. It is just amazing. I don't know, every day at some point or another, even though it goes largely unsaid, I find myself sitting here thinking, how in the world are these two teams owned by the same people? It's just incredible. I guess really it's a credit to McDermott and Bean. You know, like they do it how they want to do it. And I think that they have autonomy, and maybe the hockey team, well, we know they never found their Bean or McDermott. We'll see. Maybe they have them now in Granato and Adams, right? It's possible at least. But man, it's really stark. Like, do you ever think to yourself while you're covering the Bills, how lucky you are not to be covering the Sabres?
Yeah. In some regard, of course, you know, I mean, I will tell you that my first, you know, I got back here in 2011. You know, I think we took over the radio rights in 2012, and I've been on the broadcast or sideline report or whatever, you know, for since then. And I will tell you that, you know, for the first several years, there was a lot of changes. There were a lot of changes, coaches and GMs. And I do often say to myself, I'll say to Paul, like, hey, you know, you have to go through this every couple of years now. I don't anymore, which is really a kind of a difference. And not that the Sabres didn't have that necessarily, but it wasn't quite as often as we see now, obviously.
Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline with me. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schopp has the day off. We got Sneaky Joe DiBiase along for the ride as well. So, Sal, reading your recap of today's practice, the pads went on, and go figure, the defense had a better day.
Yeah, and this is what you want to see. I think what we saw today is what any fan wants to hear, which is the offense won some and the defense won some. And I'd say the defense won more than the offense did today. If I could score it overall, I'd score it for the defense today. But the offense had their share of plays as well, especially after a day in which the offense just lit them up, basically. But, you know, you get the pads on. You don't have to lay up as much. Yeah, you're not trying to really hurt anybody, obviously. You're not going completely full speed and blowing people up, so to speak, but you know, you can get a little more physical, you can get after it there, and it was physical in the one-on-one drills especially. A couple of us watching said, yeah, the defenders are really getting their hands on receivers, and I made the comment, we'll see what happens when officials get here, because there were a couple times where there would have been some holding calls being made, to be honest with you. But I think that the defense felt like, hey, we got pads on now. We've been kind of, you know, not allowed to do this, and you guys have looked really good. We're not going to let that happen today, and I think that was the result.
Right. How about some individuals? Like, what I know you noticed, like the defensive line in general, just how you know, just the different makeup physically of the line. What stood out on the defense in particular today, Sal?
Fa Obada was the guy I'd say who stood out the most. You know, I've really liked him, as you know, since they signed him. And I keep making the point, he was very productive in very limited snaps last year. 5.5 sacks and only 39%, I think, of defensive plays. I mean, that's really good. He's still raw. He's long. He's got these athletic traits. He played for Eric Washington. I think he checks so many boxes for this team, Bulldog. And I really believe that he's going to be a major factor in what they do on defense this year. But, you know, the pads come on. I really wanted to see Greg Rousseau, and he had another nice play where he might have gotten a sack, but he wasn't quite as dominant, I guess you'd say, you know, before he got the pads on. But he still looked good. Same thing with A.J. Epinesa. But it is the defensive line. It's the defense overall in their length, because I want to throw Tremaine Edmonds in here on almost back-to-back plays. We're pretty close to each other. Edmonds had a pass that he deflected because of his length, and then Obada had one he deflected because of his length. And, you know, when you put certain personnel on the field who have all this length, you know, if they're all getting their hands up and around and all that kind of stuff, it's really shrinking those windows for quarterbacks to throw into.
Yeah, and it seems like maybe, I don't know, as Brandon Bean exactly said this, but I know we've supposed it, like that doesn't seem like it's any accident, right? Like that they intended, you know, we know quarterbacks, right? Right. What does Mike always say when we talk about upgrading the pass rush on the Bills because of, you know, what the Chiefs did to them in the AFC title game as an example? Well, he's getting rid of the ball, and, you know, the fastest he got rid of it all season long, good luck. You know, that's designed to negate your pass rush. So what's your next move in that chess match? The next move might be, well, if I can't get there, I just got to disrupt you in some way. And hands up at the line of scrimmage is a hell of a way to disrupt quarterbacks.
That's right. And then there was another play where this is an example in a different way. And Obada used his length really well to get around the edge. And he reached for Allen. Allen had to step up into the pocket, and he kind of had to flick the ball forward. He had to get rid of it well before he wanted to, but he really couldn't even kind of rear back. You know, I mean, he had to literally step up and kind of just throw like a shovel pass, if you will. And I think that's the same thing, because he feels that length coming around the edge, right? So I think that's the other difference. And you can as a tackle do your job and do it really well to keep a guy on the outside in the arc, if you will. But if that guy has length to reach over you, he still can impact the quarterback to make the quarterback move off his spot. And that's what happened on that play. And that goes back to everything that we've been talking about here. So, yeah, I was impressed with that today. The other thing I was impressed with today was, especially in the one-on-one drills, but, man, these receivers make catches. Like, even the back-end guys. I saw a couple catches made today. Tanner Gentry made one. Lance Lenoir made one. Like, these guys are catching balls that there's good coverage, and they're snatching the ball away. And it just, like, it's pretty impressive. When you're that close, as you know, because of your son and where he is at his level and what he does, when you're that close to watching people at the highest of levels of their sport and their skill do what they do best, it's super cool and impressive.
Yeah, I love hearing that. You know, like, even though we're talking about guys who almost definitely aren't going to make the roster, still good. Like, it just gives you hope that they've got a deep pool of resources there, that if something does happen to somebody, that they've got people that are able to step in. But back to that defensive line point here, like, a lot of what, you know, we talked about around the draft when they picked both Rousseau and Boogie Basham with their top two picks was that positional flexibility on the line too, right? So I know we can't talk about where guys are lining up. That's one of those things that are, you know, that's forbidden for you to observe practice. But I trust that positional flexibility is something that we can look forward to seeing when these real games get here, because they've got guys that can play everywhere on that line now.
100%. And they're not shy about talking about it. So, you know, we'll see how they line up. And of course, I've seen things at practice. As you said, I can't really, you know, note here on the radio, but I think that you'll see those things come to fruition, you know, once they get into their preseason games. And, you know, maybe it'll be somewhere, a guy will be somewhere one week and another place the next week. Maybe he'll be in multiple positions. But I think they're really toying with things. They're tinkering things. You know, same thing in the offensive line. They want position flexibility there. And, you know, one of the things that's kind of forced their hand is they've had guys out and injuries on the offensive line. Nothing major, but like John Feliciano was out today after getting injured yesterday. Forrest Lamp was back today, but he was injured yesterday. Ike Butker's been out. Deion Dawkins has been out. Marquell Harrell left today's practice. That's five offensive linemen I just mentioned. So by necessity, they're moving guys around, but I think they're comfortable with that because, you know, that's how they build their roster. They want to make sure they have guys who know how to play different positions, who can play different positions in a pinch, and, you know, can give them the flexibility when it comes time to making the roster. And ultimately for the guy, the more you can do, obviously, the better the chance, you know, for you to make the team. So no doubt about it. I think that, you know, that's something we're probably going to see over the first couple of preseason games.
You mentioned the offensive line, and it dawns on me, like, we've probably had very few, if any, conversations since these practices have all started, even going back into mini camps and OTAs, about Spencer Brown. But, like, what do you think the chances are that he's someone who contributes right away? Pretty slim?
Well, I think the question would be how you define contribute, because I think he's on the team, and I think he's basically a backup swing tackle, or the swing tackle, you know, but a backup to the starters. But so I do think he's an important player on the team. I think they would hope that he doesn't have to play, but if so, they'll put him in. There's some guys where when they're drafted and you say, oh my God, this guy is so big, and then, you know, they get on the field and you're like, yeah, well, all football players are big. You know, he's big too. But I will tell you, him and Gregory Rousseau are just different. They look different than everybody else out there. He is a mammoth human being. So is Gregory Rousseau in a different way. You know, Spencer Brown's a much wider body, obviously, but Greg Rousseau is so tall and he's got that length. And when you see him, when you see Spencer Brown in a huddle with his fellow offensive lineman, he looks like he's a varsity player on a JV team, essentially. You know, that's what it looks like sometimes. It's funny, and that's not a shot at the other guys. He's just such a big guy. So, Yeah, I think he's a contributor in the regard of they're going to rely on him to make sure that he's ready. And, you know, if something happens up front, you know, he's got to be ready to go in. And I think he's going to be counted on to do that.
I missed an opportunity to squeeze in the Best of Bills training camp sponsor, which is brought to you by the Barnes Firm Car Crash. Call 1-800-8-MILLION when you reference the guys at the bottom of the receiver depth chart making nice catches, Sal. I don't know if you got something else you want to contribute as the best thing you saw today, feel free. The floor is yours, but if not, that I think that'll qualify.
That was really good, but I do want to give some love to the defense today. We gave love to the offense yesterday and our best things. So the defense, the highlight of the day, maybe overall, an 11-on-11 came from the defense. Matt Milano was covering Dawson Knox. Ball was a bit underthrown. It wasn't like a really bad pass, a bit underthrown, but underthrown enough where Matt had a real good shot at getting his hands on it. He did. He got up in the air. He batted it up in the air. They went to the ground, but Micah Hyde was really heavy in pursuit. He got over there and he made the pick before it hit the ground. So that was a really nice play by the defense. And I would say we'll give them some love today for our best thing.
Okay. Hey, you know, we didn't really get into it yesterday, but Brandon Bean, Sal, talking about, you know, the deadline. He's creating a deadline, and it's not a surprising deadline. You know, the start of the regular season. If they don't get something figured out with Josh Allen's contract between now and then, that it will be tabled. And, you know, Bean speaks as though Allen understands that and respects that, and that it's, you know, not going to be a problem for him, certainly not going to be a problem for the team and all that. Do you think that was in any way, shape, or form a negotiating ploy by Bean to sort of turn the heat up on getting something done if the Allen side wants to get it done before the season begins?
I think it could be, but what stops me from thinking that it is I go back to the conversation I had with Brandon Bean when it came to Matt Milano's extension and his relationship with Joel Siegel. Now, that's not who represents Josh Allen, but the point is, Brandon Bean made it clear that having an honest and open trust relationship with an agent is the best way to go about it. I don't think Brandon is going to come on WGR and say something that he hasn't already made clear to the agent. I don't think that's his way of doing things. Now, maybe the agent has kind of paused at that a little bit or something like that. That could be the case. And he's kind of reiterated, hey, I'm serious here. Like, if we don't get it done, you know. But I think he's just being transparent. But knowing the conversation in the other way is true, too. You know, Joel, when I had that conversation with him, Joel Siegel, he was really, really complimentary of Brandon in, hey, not every GM is like this. Like, this guy he wants to have an open dialogue. He wants to be super honest with you. He's going to be very upfront with you and Jim Overdorf and Kevin Megank and his team over there. Like, Joel Siegel basically said, like, he never felt like he was uncomfortable dealing with them in any regard or had any pressure because they were always honest. And even if they disagree, they're always honest. So I don't think he's doing that to put any more pressure necessarily on him. I think he might be just saying it as a matter of fact, which is, hey, this is what we're thinking. But I guarantee you it's something he's told the agent already.
Do you think, which side do you think wants more to get the deal done now? I mean, of course it depends on the money. Assuming that, and I guess this is a lot for us to assume because, you know, if they could agree on all of it, maybe we'd already have a news conference, that you're slotting in behind Mahomes somewhere, but, you know, near there, like in that neighborhood. Do you think the Bills would rather get it done now to avoid? Because what could happen here? Allen could have the same season he had last year or one that's similar and actually win the MVP. And in which case, if he doesn't have a new contract yet, then maybe the case to be made for him to be the highest paid quarterback in the league is there for you. Because it's like it's his turn. His contract's up and he's coming off an MVP season. Guess what? Right? So maybe the Bills want to avoid having to pay an extra, I don't know, $5 million a year, say, on average. Maybe a little less than that. But cap room is going to become a problem. Like, who's got the most motivation to get it done, the Bills or Allen, do you think?
I would say both sides would like to get it done. But to me, anytime a player is staring at a $40-plus million a year payday, I would think that's really good motivation to want to get it done before something drastically changes to not get it. Now, he may have all the confidence in the world that money will always be there no matter what, but we all know the reality, right? Right. He could have a setback, a step back. He could have an injury. There's a lot of things that could happen when you're talking about, because we know there's going to be a lot of guarantees in there. He's going to get a lot of guaranteed money. I mean, it's just the way these contracts go. So you're talking about a guy who, I think Allen makes like $1 million on a base salary this year. You know, the way his contract was structured, looking back, and I did this a while ago. I haven't looked at it recently to make sure, but I think he's only making like less than $1 million base salary. The rest is in bonuses, and, you know, there's some prorated stuff in there for salary cap and things like that. I mean, between that and making a $40 million and then all of the guaranteed money and the bonuses, and I can't imagine the player not being super motivated to want to get that done and get that money. And then on top of that, looking around and seeing all these other guys get paid and you saying, well, come on, I'm better than that guy. It's my turn. Let me show everybody that I'm worth that.
I wonder if the three guys that are up here, right? Well, not up, but you know what I mean, eligible for contract extensions. Mayfield, the first overall pick. Allen, the seventh overall pick. Lamar Jackson, an MVP already. He was, of course, the 31st pick. I wonder if, like, nobody wants to be the first one in, you know? Like, the teams or the players. You know, like, because somebody's going to kind of set the market, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I wonder if it's just like a situation where nobody wants to jump in the pool first.
I don't doubt that to be the case. Although, I don't think the Browns are super eager to get Mayfield's contract done. I think they want to wait. I think the Browns are deciding. I'm not convinced that they are ready to give him big money. If he wants big money, they're going to hold off. You know, maybe a lesser type of deal, a tier two type of deal, if you will, as I think, who was it? Former Tannenbaum. Tannenbaum called it that way, a tier two deal, like for Mayfield. And I would agree with that, you know, maybe that's the case. But Jackson and Allen are probably in that similar boat, which is, you know, which guy's going to go first and, you know, where is his money going to fall? You know, but as far as the motivation from the Bills, yeah, there's always the, it's a good problem to have, though, right? Which is there's always the, well, you know what? If we wait, we don't sign him, and he has this incredible year and wins the Super Bowl, we got to pay even more. Well, guess what? That means he's still incredible, and he backed up right. What you thought about him anyway, and you're getting all this new TV money.
Yeah, right.
That's right. You're getting you're going to find a way to fit Josh Allen into your structure. So I don't think it's as pressing for Brandon Bean.
All right, what's a tier two contract like? $30 million.
Like, what, yeah, probably somewhere in there, right?
Right.
Yeah, right. It'd be nice.
Oh, what a life. Learn how to throw a football, kids. All right, Sal, thanks a lot. Enjoy the rest of your day. And, I don't know, day off tomorrow, right? So, I don't know. We won't visit. Maybe we will. We'll have to see. But no practice tomorrow. They're back at it Thursday. Is that right?
That's right. I have a golf outing tomorrow. So you let me know, and we'll maybe fit something in around the 16th
right,
or 17th holes.
All right, good. Sounds good, Sal. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Sal
Capaccio on our Wester hotline, and his coverage of Bills training camp here on WGR is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs. We'll spend maybe a few minutes. Sneaky Joe and I will pour over the question I asked Sal, like who's more motivated to get a deal done, the quarterback or the team? And we can talk about all three of those guys, Mayfield, Jackson, and, of course, the Bills guy, Josh Allen. As we continue, Mike Shope is out today. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
That guy, young man, has worked hard just getting back to this point. You know, he's in here and working and rehabbing. And, you know, that's hard coming off an injury for any player, but particularly running back with your ankle, you're running, you're cutting. Now we'll see how it goes once he's getting bumped around a little bit. But he's done everything we asked him to do to try to get back to this spot right now, which is whatever fifth or sixth day of training camp. Another guy we'll be anxious to see here come running in the preseason.
That is Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll talking about running back Zach Moss, who, of course, was hurt in the playoffs, ankle injury, and has been a full participant so far at camp, so no lingering effects, and hopefully just onward and upward for the Bills' second-year running back. Good to have you along for the ride with us. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off today. Sneaky Joe DiBiase is along as well. We'll spend some time here on the Bills. We just had Sal Capaccio on, and we left our conversation with Sal at a question that I wanted to bring up and, you know, take calls on it, too, at 803-0550. If you're so inclined, we'll get back into the Sabres when we get to 5 o'clock, and Paul Hamilton will join the program then. But I asked Sal right at the end of our conversation, who's more motivated to get a deal done, the team or the quarterback, the Bills or Josh Allen? And you know, I will admit, like, in my head, I'm thinking my answer to this is the team. Like, they want, like, think about it from the fan standpoint. What are we always so worried about? What are we worried about right now with Jack Eichel? Or what's happening with Jack Eichel? What did we worry about for 5 years, 6 years? I don't know. Did it start right away? Probably not. But a couple of years into Eichel's career was, when's he going to leave? He's great. There's no question about that. He's going to leave. He's not going to want to stay here. So I think we're always worried that we're going to get a good player and they're going to fly the coop somehow. They're going to either, you know, want to get out of here, or there's going to be a falling out with management. They can't agree on a contract, and poof, magic, it's gone. So we just want the comfort of knowing the deal's done. That's not necessarily to say that we're, you know, the urgency is on one side or the other for the fans. They want it done. They want to know we've got our quarterback, right? And we're all set. When I asked Sal that question, who's got more, you know, who's got more urgency, the team or Allen? I'm thinking in my head that it would be the team because, well, of the scenario I laid out to Sal, which is Allen has the year he had last year again this coming season. And of course you'd want that to happen. But the price does go up if that happens. I think if he has another MVP caliber season, that there will be an argument to be made that when he gets his contract, he should be the highest paid quarterback in football. Because that's just usually how it works. He's in his prime. He's now demonstrated 2 years in a row that he's that good. And we gotta make an agreement here. And yes, I know he has not, you know, maybe in this scenario he wins the MVP, you know, because Mahomes has an MVP and he's the highest paid guy. He's also won a Super Bowl and been to another, and Allen hasn't done that yet. But his contract will be up, and in sports, that's usually how it works. You know, it's not so much this guy is decidedly the better quarterback. It's just the salaries always go up. So if you're signing your extension in this scenario after this season and it's another great season, I would almost expect him to get paid more than Mahomes. He's signing 2 years after Mahomes signed his extension in the NFL and he had another MVP caliber season. I think you just pay that guy the most money ever is what usually happens. So looking at it that way, I think, well, the Bills would rather get it done now. But Sal makes a good point. Like, the player has that all to lose if something goes wrong. And the team will find a way to pay the more money and would be comforted probably by the fact, probably, they definitely would be confident in signing Allen if he had another year like he just had. Further proof that it wasn't just some aberration one-off. So I wonder if the Bills aren't the side that would be more inclined to wait, and that any urgency to get this deal done might be coming from Josh Allen's side. Not that there has to be, like, you know, real urgency on either side necessarily, but I'm assuming I'm assuming if Josh Allen has a chance to get $40 million a year and a bunch of guaranteed money, you probably would like to do that before you get a chance at having your leg torn off by some defensive lineman. But, you know, that's just me. I'm trying to be sensible. What do you think, Joe?
I don't think there's a lot to figure out on the dollar side. Like, it just seems kind of – it feels like they couldn't be that far apart. You know, like, there's – is any – either side – obviously, Allen would be the side for this – arguing that he should be making more than Patrick Mahomes. Like, because then, sure, maybe that's why there's no deal. But I can't fathom that that's the case. And I can't believe the Bills at the same time would be going much below $40 million, if at all. So I feel like they have to be close enough in the dollar range that why isn't a deal getting done right now? Well, maybe the Bills just want to see one more year. That they have 24 months until anything catastrophic could really happen. So let's just wait a year and make sure no harm, no foul, and we'll make the deal next year. Or would Allen be saying, I'm going to bet on myself, and if we make the Super Bowl, then I'm the highest paid quarterback in football? And I don't know which of those scenarios is more likely. Maybe both is true to some extent. And maybe that's why maybe there's no chance of a deal getting done right now, because Allen wants to prove he should be the highest paid quarterback in football, and the Bills just want to see more than 1 year just to be 100% sure.
Right. They would never, ever want to say they want to see one more year. Right?
No,
but
they wouldn't.
But if they're sitting in a room and the doors are closed and it's just them, you know, the football men, right? I mean, it stands to reason that you'd want more proof, right?
Yeah, and that's around the league. Like, there's not a lot of precedent. I've looked. I don't know that there's any precedent for a guy signing a mega contract like this off 1 year of that level of play. Deshaun Watson, it was 2 years. Wentz, it was even 2 years. Goff had done it for 2 years. You know, Garoppolo's the one guy. Garoppolo's the one guy. He hadn't even done it for one. They just paid him the moment he got there. So for him, it was zero. But other than him... Like everybody else, like
Mahomes was 2 years.
Mahomes was two years. Jackson's gone 2 years, and he hasn't even got paid. So from precedent standpoint, yeah, there's no issue with waiting for 2 years. But right, you would never want it to be known that you have any doubt in the player, which there's no real reason to believe there is doubt. And that's why I guess I just don't see a lot of risk in waiting a year. I feel like I trust the organization and the player's motivations enough. That maybe I'm being naive because it is a business and there's the cycle thing going on right now with the other team.
Right,
I just have enough trust in both sides that I'm not worried if it doesn't get done right now.
I wouldn't say I'm worried either, but I think it'll be hard if it doesn't get done. I think it'll be hard to at the very least avoid speculation about the Bills wanting to see more. Right, like why didn't they get it done? He had this great season. He's done with his third season. He's eligible for this extension. He loves it here. His teammates love him. He performed. Again, it's just the 1 year, and I think that will, right or wrong, all right? I mean, I'm not saying this has to be 100% true or true even at all. But I would predict if it doesn't get done, the Bills will be painted as wanting to wait because of it only being the 1 year. And like you said, there's just not a lot of precedent or any precedent really for a guy having just one great season and getting that big monster contract. So like, I wonder how that'll all shake out. Like
to add to that, even though there's no precedent for it, there's not a lot of precedent for Allen. There's not a lot of, well, he was pretty good in his first 2 years, and then he explodes in year three, and he's that much better.
Right.
He had the most dramatic change in completion percentage from 1 year to the next.
Right.
So I guess if you do want to break precedent, this is the player to do it with, considering you also paid a seventh overall pick to get him. So... I'm not saying it'd be dumb to pay him right now or that you can't do it. It's just that I don't think you need to do it.
Yeah, I guess what I'm admitting here in the last, what time is it, quarter to five, we're talking to seven, in the last half an hour, I think I have changed my mind that the Bills would feel urgency to get it done. Like, it might be safer for them to wait. So if it doesn't all line up, it's not to say that they're closed off or like intentionally being like in any way, shape or form, bad faith about like that they don't want to get a deal done. But the urgency from their side probably is not as high as I might have thought it was before sort of hashing this out with Sal and now you and just sort of sitting with it here and reflecting on what has been said and what I've been thinking. And I think it's defensible for them to not be like, we got to get this done before the opener. I think you can live there and not feel like there's some big failure going on or something. I think that would be, you know, I think that's an acceptable outcome. So we'll see. I still sort of feel like it's going to get done, but you know, who knows? There are these three guys, right? I mean, the Mayfield thing is interesting. There's no way he gets like slots in like Watson, Mahomes, right? I mean,
no, but he might not be that far behind. Like, what was Spotrac's estimated deal for him was like $35 million. So I mean, 35 versus 40, I guess that's a difference.
Right.
But no, I don't think he's getting. He'll be some percentage lower than I think what Allen and Jackson get.
Yeah.
Allen and Jackson will be a lot closer to each other than they will be to Mayfield. I would imagine at this point.
Yep, I would agree with that. I would expect that to be the case. We'll see how that unfolds. All right, we'll take a timeout here. Lines are open, 803-0550. You got a thought on Allen's contract extension? Spent a lot, really, the entire first hour of the show on the Jack Eichel saga. We'll get back into that at the top of the hour when Paul Hamilton joins us, and we'll take more of your calls after Paul is on with us as well on Eichel and this just colossal mess that is sitting in the Sabres' lap with their captain. 803-0550 again is the number. Mike Schoep has the day off today. I am the Bulldog along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and this is WGR.
I'll be honest, I didn't think I would enjoy rewatching games as much as I did last year. I mean, I always thought, like, I'm sure like you guys, you get on the plane and you're watching the assistant coaches on their computers watching games already. I'm like, God, I can never imagine doing that. But it's actually fun because once you understand it's part of the teaching, it's part of the mentoring, part of the process, you embrace it and enjoy it.
That is former Sabres captain and new Rochester Americans assistant coach Michael Pekka. I assume he was on the Instigators today when that was announced that he was taking that job.
Yep.
All right. Congratulations to him. I don't know him real well, but I know him a little, and I'm happy for him. Good for him. He's been on a path here. He was in Washington as a player development coach, I think, last year, working with taxi squad guys primarily. So nice job. He joins Seth Appert's staff in Rochester, and good for him. I'm happy to see that for him. Glad to have you along for the ride with us here on a super super nice Tuesday. Part of maybe the best week of summer so far. The forecast is like for sun and no rain for like I don't know days on end, which is nice. We've not had any of that really this summer. Mike Schoep has the day off today. I am the Bulldog. Glad to have you with us here. Joe, what is going on with the Giants?
Lots.
The Giants. I feel like Mike is off today. I feel like we gotta meet our what the hell is going on with
yes.
the Giants quota. Although I don't know, I don't see Gettleman's name that much. Although he was involved in this dust up with Kelvin Benjamin last week, but the whole team is running laps. I've got like huge brawls, pileups with the starting quarterback on the bottom of the pile. I mean, imagine if this were happening to the Bills and Josh Allen were on the bottom of a pile of like 20 guys.
Oh yeah. I mean,
we'd be losing our minds. I'm pretty sure. Well, some of us would be. Some people would be going, well, it's football. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But wow, the Giants, they seem like a time machine to me.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, like, because like you had John Feliciano, like, and Epinesa get into something in the spring, right? And what you'll often hear is, oh, they're just competitors. Like, yeah, it just happens. They're fiery or whatever. And, you know, when you're good, you can get away with stuff like that. And when you're bad, like the Giants have been, then I think you'll get more attention on it and you'll be looked at more as being this fractured team and this fractured organization. But even without that, if it's a full team brawl, it's not two guys going at it. You know, it's a full team brawl, and Daniel Jones is at the bottom of it. and the coach is like a madman, apparently. Like, he was getting criticized by the media last week for swearing too much. And then today, he's got them running 100-yard sprints. And then he reportedly, Ralph Vecchiano had tweeted that he sent his assistant coaches into the building because he wanted the players all to himself. Kind of like Herb Brooks style. I don't know. They look like a tire fire right now. And that's not even to mention that their best receiver, Kenny Golladay, like limped off the field today with looked like a hamstring.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
Throw that in on
yeah.
top. So
right.
I don't know. They just look like a disaster, basically.
Yeah. Well, you know, iron makes iron. Or something.
Like that.
Something toughness, something. I don't know, man.
It's also harder to hide behind, like, no, it's just this is what guys do, right? When you are visibly, like, angry for, like, an hour after it happens. Like, there's, like, he's clearly,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, emotional. I don't know what the word is to describe him right now. But Joe Judge seems like
not in control of his emotions.
Yeah, yes. Right? And maybe right, not of his team.
Yep, right. Doesn't seem real, real good. All right, we'll take a timeout here and come back with Paul Hamilton on the other side, and we'll get his thoughts. So we haven't talked to Paul since the agents for Jack Eichel dropped their manifesto on Friday night, and we'll revisit all of that with Paul, and look for your calls when we're done with that as we continue. Again, Mike Schoep is off today. I am the Bulldog along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and this is WGR.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.